Well, welcome to Local Matters. We are talking about education matters today, and we are talking about some really, really important education going on right now at Tennessee Tech. Our guest today is Dr. Barbara Jared, the director of the Whitson Hester School of Nursing at Tech. And Barbara, it's great to see you, and thank you for being on the program.
It's great to see you, Dr. Bell. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, you are director of a school that everybody in the nation relates to right now with the coronavirus challenges that we have. Nurses have been in the forefront for months and months and months, and it is a challenging time. But tell us about the School of Nursing. How's it doing at this point?
Yeah, it definitely has been challenging, and we've had to make lots of changes. You know, the spring was rough because it came on so quickly, and clinical agencies opted to stop student clinical participation. So thankfully, we've got a really well-stocked simulation lab with high-fidelity simulators, and we didn't miss a beat. Those students continued and completed their clinical hours with simulation, and we were able to do that virtually. We're really thankful for our many donors that have supplied all of the equipment that we have in the simulation lab. We've spent the summer in many task force university-wide planning for the fall.
Had to be interesting meetings.
Yes, and it was good to work with that group. It was made up of administrators and faculty and staff and students. So we were able to address a lot of the issues. And doing that, I feel like we've started off strong because we've had a good plan in place. We admitted, you know, a regular number group of students, and they all returned to campus in August. They are fully vested in clinical, going to hospital sites and community sites. And, you know, it looks different because their 250-seat auditorium will now only seat 45 to accommodate social distancing,
but it's amazing.
Our Center for Teaching and Learning has worked really well with the faculty to help us get up to speed on technology so that we can teach in person and virtually at the same time for those students who can't be there because of space. But we're working through it, and it seems to be going well.
And how are the students responding? Are they doing okay in this new environment?
They are. I do get the sense that it is more frustrating for them, you know, because there are limitations on space and just wearing a mask. You know, the communication's more difficult.
Yeah, even with you and me here today, and we're socially distanced, but we both have masks
right,
on.
Right, exactly.
It's just different.
It's different. It's very different. But I feel like the faculty as a whole have been very positive and provided good information to help the students do what they need to do. The healthcare facilities have been great. And I think overall the students think that they're getting what they need from the classroom and clinical.
And I've heard this week that enrollment in the School of Nursing is up slightly, and that's an amazing feat in this kind of an environment.
It is. It certainly is. And we're very thankful for that. I feel like the university as a whole has done well, too,
I agree.
Considering the times that we're in.
Yeah. I agree. When you look across the entire campus, I was driving on campus today, and it looked almost the same. Mm-hmm. There were students, probably not as many as normal, but there were students walking everywhere. And so you could feel the normal motions at Tennessee Tech. Mm-hmm. What do you think have been the big changes that students have had to accommodate campus-wide?
Yeah, I think just the flow of the campus, because every building, you know, the traffic flow has been established to try to keep smaller numbers of students in the halls and on the stairwells. I think that has been different. Not really the close gathering in groups.
And those that are in residence halls have had their own special guidelines.
Yeah. And even in the lab, we've set up our labs to socially distance. You know, they're still getting to do lab, but it's, you know, like health assessment, normally they have a partner that they do their health assessments with, and we're not doing that because we're keeping them apart from each other.
Wow. Yeah. And I guess the cafeteria is still open.
It is.
And, but that's got to be a different experience also.
Yeah.
That was always a fun thing for me to do, walk mm-hmm. over into that,
right.
into the calf and just mm-hmm. feel the motion mm-hmm. that was in there and yeah. everything.
But, you know, that population, well, even us, you get creative. I mean, because we're people and it's important to have relationships and to have a social life. And I think the students are, they're going to create that.
It's one way look, or another, I think yeah. they are too.
You know, and it's going to look different yeah. than it looked before.
Well, this is Local Matters, and we are talking to Dr. Barbara Jared, the director of the Whitson Hester School of Nursing. It's great talking to you. Nurses have, and not just in the classroom, but the nurses out in all of the healthcare communities and the healthcare facilities have faced a new challenge that they, in some ways, they trained for contagious diseases mm-hmm. and things. But this thing has been a monster, hasn't it, for nurses?
It has. And it just continues, I think, is part of it. It's not short-lived, and we don't know what the end or where the end is going to be. You know, and we even question, you know, is this going to cause people to rethink their career choice? Are we going to have yeah. people who decide, you know, I don't want to do nursing? Or is it going to be, this is something I want to be involved in? And, you know, our enrollment shows that we still have, yeah. you know, enough students. And I'm sure we've had some who've changed their mind and, sure. and chose something else. But it is important because the nurses are needed to provide the care for these patients.
And they are literally lifesavers in many cases mm-hmm. and have been over the past yeah. few months.
And I know it's been challenging. We have faculty that are on staff at Cookeville Regional and in clinics in the community. And to be in that environment, and I've talked to former students who are at healthcare facilities at Cookeville and other places, it's just different, especially those with COVID, because the families aren't there.
Yeah.
So not only are they the nurses, but they are providing that support.
They're
and many
the emotional
times,
support for that yeah, patient.
Right. And when it comes to end-of-life care, that's a real strain, I think. Not to have the family there. It's
yes.
awful for the family, but I think these nurses
it's tough on the
are
nurses
seeing
too.
That it really is taking a toll.
Yeah, I just can't imagine what that's like, I guess, for nurses in, mm-hmm. in that circumstance. Yeah. Well, you mentioned Cookeville Regional, and that certainly is one of the biggest employers. Mm-hmm. But talk about the kind of careers that nurses from Tech School of Nursing go into. And I know we have undergraduate and then mm-hmm. graduate programs. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about both of those, but typically what kind of programs do nurses go into?
Yeah, well, our students graduating with their bachelor's in nursing and sitting for their RN license, the majority of them start off in acute care facilities like hospitals. And then, you know, over time, they may change to community agencies or public health departments. We have a few that start in those agencies, but most go acute care. And, you know, our 2019 numbers, 97% of our students had a job when they left campus.
And that's great.
Yeah.
That has to be the highest of any of the colleges on the campus,
high.
I would think.
Yeah. And our students are highly recruited. You know, we have all the healthcare facilities, Cookeville, St. Thomas, Vanderbilt, that want to come and meet with our students their last semester to talk to them about jobs and job placement.
I was at Baptist back when Baptist existed in Nashville mm-hmm. a few years ago, and we had gone in for an emergency from a friend of ours who was down in Chapel Hill. And we're running down the hall about 10 o'clock at night, mm-hmm. close enough family that we could still get in. And somebody yelled, "Dr. Bell, Dr. Bell." And so I turned around and it was a nurse.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said hi and we had a quick reunion. And I said, "We're trying to get to," mm-hmm. they had put this person up in a room by this point. And we ran ahead down and got into the room, spent maybe 5 minutes or 10, mm-hmm. and then came back out. And in the meantime, she had put an all-points bulletin out for tech nurses, and we had an alumni yeah. reunion right there in Baptist Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
So they go everywhere, and they do some really great work.
Yeah, and our graduate students that graduate with their master's or their doctorate, most of them are graduating seeking a nurse practitioner certification, mm-hmm. or in the doctoral program, they may already have that. So most of them go to work in primary care facilities, in clinics, except for acute care nurse practitioners. And, of course, they're going into the acute care facilities as advanced practice nurses.
Well, the doctoral program is among the youngest of mm-hmm. the programs at Tech. Tell us about what it does, what kind of careers they mm-hmm. go into, but also just what the configuration of the program is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, our Doctor of Nursing Practice program, we actually just had our first two graduates in August, and it is a program that has six concentrations, women's health nurse practitioner, pediatric nurse practitioner, acute care nurse practitioner, psychiatric mental health practitioner, family nurse practitioner, and executive leadership. And it is a joint program with East Tennessee State University, which makes it a very unique program, but it's great because we can pool those resources and expertise of faculty. So those students, those who've graduated and those who plan to graduate, most of them are going to be in primary care or psychiatric mental health facilities, just depending on their specialty.
Sure.
And the acute cares will be in acute care facilities, managing intensive care units, emergency rooms, you know, those kinds of departments within facilities.
But they're training to manage those units in addition to serving.
Well, to manage populations of patients.
Yes.
You know, like we have one of our faculty who is an acute care nurse practitioner as part of the pulmonary service at Cookeville Regional.
Right.
And she sees patients for that group in the hospital-wide.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be that kind of care that those would provide. And the distinction with the DNP, you know, we have the PhD in nursing, which is a research doctorate.
Right.
The DNP is a clinical doctorate, like you would see in a PharmD or a physical therapy doctorate or similar to that.
Well, that's a pretty wide range of nursing options.
Mm-hmm.
And so for anybody that we'll come back and talk about how they can contact you or how they can contact Tech to learn more about it. This is Local Matters, and we are talking educational matters and particularly nursing education matters with Barbara Jared. We will be right back after a quick break.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. OfficeMart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. OfficeMart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at OfficeMart.
Well, welcome back to Local Matters. We are talking to Dr. Barbara Jared, the director of the Whitson Hester School of Nursing at Tennessee Tech University. And Barbara, we've been talking about degree programs and sort of the kinds of careers that nurses go into coming out of the Whitson Hester School of Nursing. But you mentioned something in the first session about simulation,
mm-hmm.
and I know personally I've seen it, and simulation is just vitally important. So talk about what kind of simulations you offer to the nursing students.
Okay. We have a combination of low, medium, and high fidelity simulators, and we use them in every course in the nursing program, starting out with the very first in assessment and fundamentals. That's how they learn their skills, where when I was in nursing school, we gave injections to each other. We put in G-tubes down each other, but now we have a simulator that really simulates the human body.
And probably saves a lot of pain on fellow students.
Yes, definitely, definitely. And these simulators have come a long way. They now have more lifelike skin. our high fidelity simulator. We use especially in our medical surgical courses where they actually prepare to care for a patient, and then they go in and they care for that patient, and the faculty who is behind a one-way mirror can adjust how that patient responds based on how the nurse is delivering care. And they're pretty amazing. You can assess their vital signs. They can cry. They can perspire. You can change the heart rhythms. So it really, really gives the students an opportunity to provide care in a less stressful environment.
Yes.
Because they can make a mistake and it's not going to harm someone.
That's right.
And then they can learn from that.
And go back and try again.
Right. And of course, the key to the simulation, a lot of people think it's the doing. The key to learning with simulation is the debriefing. It's the, we do it all, and then we go in a room as a group, and we sit down, and we talk about what we saw, what we experienced, and what we might do different next time. So that processing, which is so critical for clinical judgment, is really, you're able to do that well with simulation.
And I was in one of the simulations one time with then-Governor Phil Bredesen, mm-hmm. who was just intrigued with the role of simulation in training nurses. And we both commented on the intensity of the situation that mm-hmm. the student nurses felt like they had a real patient that they
yes.
were working
oh,
on.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. And we have, we have an obstetrical simulator that actually labors and gives birth.
And her name was Noelle when
right,
I was there. Is that
right.
still?
No, we actually okay? had a very generous donor who provided, and she is new just this year. And I'm telling you, her name has left me. Not the donor, not the donor, but the name of the simulator.
And I think I know your donor too,
yes.
but I'll leave that. But that simulator, mm-hmm. as she is in the middle of delivery, you can create all kinds of crises for
yes.
her
yes.
or for the baby
yes.
or for both,
yes.
right?
Yes, you certainly can. Mm-hmm.
And I guess all those turn into crises for the student nurse in
yes.
terms of
yes.
how she's going to manage
yes.
that.
Different. Yeah, certainly. That's for sure.
But it's got to be a wonderful way of training. And as you say, if something goes wrong, it doesn't mm-hmm. harm a patient. Mm-hmm. It gives them a chance to reboot and try again mm-hmm. and learn from that experience.
Yeah, and students tell us that it gives them greater comfort, a comfort level going into the facility, because they have actually not just heard us say it and saw it in a textbook, but they put their hands on a simulator.
Right.
And there's just something about putting all of those pieces together
yeah,
in learning.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
And you mentioned going into a facility. Clinicals are still part of the experience.
They are. Mm-hmm.
Talk about the clinical experience for the student nurse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Every course, starting with their second semester in upper division, has at least one clinical course. Some semesters, there are more than one clinical course. And each student spends a designated number of hours actually in the clinical setting. And usually they're assigned a patient the day before, and they go to the healthcare facility and they review the chart. They may go meet the patient and the family. And then the next day they come in and they provide the care with their faculty there and with the staff as support. And, give medications, do procedures, everything that needs to be done, and work through what we call the nursing process, which is the assessment and the planning and the evaluation of patient care.
And I know, serving on the board at Cookeville Regional Medical Center for several years, that center just said this kind of clinical experience was invaluable to mm-hmm. them mm-hmm. as well as invaluable to the students.
Right.
So I know they really respected the partnership with the mm-hmm. with the School of Nursing.
Yeah, Cookeville Regional has been a great friend to the School of Nursing and to Tennessee Tech. We've really appreciated their support.
Yeah, no question, no question. And they're one of the largest employers.
They are. Mm-hmm.
And so we appreciate that aspect of their role. They're not just a trainer. They actually employ those students. And from their side, they get to look at those students during the clinicals and see which
right.
ones they think
exactly.
might fit well.
Yeah. Yeah. We tell the students that, you need to always put your best foot forward, because.
And the student gets to look at that mm-hmm, clinical
yeah.
experience and say, I may not want to do this.
Yeah, exactly.
Or this may be the exact place I want to go.
Yeah.
Well, we mentioned Cookeville Regional, but talk about some of the other partnerships mm-hmm. and the other organizations that that participate in clinicals and in other mm-hmm. kinds of
yeah.
partnerships.
Yeah, we have partnerships with Cumberland Regional, our Cumberland Medical Center in Crossville, with Livingston Regional, with Highlands and Sparta, their Jerry Psychiatric Unit, several of the long-term care facilities. Our pediatrics, because we don't have an acute care pediatric facility here, our students either go to East Tennessee Children's in Knoxville, or they go to Erlanger Children's, or they go to Vanderbilt Children's. So they have a variety there that we could use. We have partnerships with Centennial in Nashville, with Vanderbilt, Erlanger, UT Knoxville.
Yeah. Well, that's great. And I know those student nurses, when they walk in, they're in a distinctive Tennessee Tech uniform, mm-hmm. in many cases. And, yeah. They look very good. I've seen them in several different hospital settings.
And yeah, purple's not a color you see.
That's
in
right.
Scrubs outside of Tennessee Tech students. Yeah.
So that really, really does work out well. Well, let's talk for a moment about, in this COVID environment, what kind of changes in training you're giving to nurses. How is their curriculum changing? I know we're right in the mm-hmm. middle of it, so mm-hmm. it's a little hard to stabilize this at this mm-hmm. point, but what do you see as the main changes in training?
Well, I think, you know, the major focus is on infection control, and we're living that. How do we prevent the spread of infection? What are the things that we can do to halt that, or at least decrease the spread? And I think that's something nursing students learn very, very soon, but they're having to live it in every aspect of their life.
They are.
For sure. I think in the hospital, and you know, most people have not been in the hospital since this has started, because they try to stay away unless they have to be in there. It's a different environment now. You know, you have all of these isolation rooms, and just the whole maneuvering in the facility is very different to be able to provide, you know, safe care. Most facilities are asking that students not be assigned to patients in isolation.
Yes.
And that's, you know, partly, yes, they don't want them exposed, but it's more about preserving the protective equipment, because we do know that has always been a concern, that if facilities get overwhelmed and they don't have enough equipment. So we're trying to provide some of the equipment for our students, and we're trying to make sure they're not in charge of those isolation rooms where that equipment is used. But other than that, I mean, we're teaching them to be nurses and how to take care of patients and families, and infection control is just part of the big picture.
And that is so important. Now, I'm not medically trained, but I would assume, and you don't teach them a lot about triage. Sometimes that's more in an emergency room situation, the doctors may take over, but they do fundamental triage in many cases mm-hmm. too. What are the changes in triage where they're going to learn how to identify COVID and its mm-hmm. symptoms?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think probably every student that's been in clinical now knows all the questions to ask. I'd say they're ingrained on their mind, you know, to assess for fever, ask for the questions, and to readily separate someone if they're symptomatic, and make sure that they have a mask and those pieces.
So they can pretty well identify mm-hmm. the risk and see that it's time to move them over somewhere else.
Yeah, and I will tell you that our graduating seniors that will graduate in December, they are actually in their community health course working with TTU Student Health Services with contact tracing and helping with the patient flow. Mm-hmm. So they're firsthand working in that particular area. And I will, just as a shout out to the health services, Student Health Services at Tennessee Tech, it's doing an amazing job in all of this. They have planned well, and they have staffed well, and I believe that things are going well from their standpoint.
It's a tribute to them, and I think Tech has done very well overall in the scorecard as this thing has rolled out. And I mentioned earlier we'd give you a chance for a promo, so how should they contact you?
Okay, if they're interested, whether it's a bachelor's, a master's, or a DMP, they can contact either me as the director, Barbara Jared, or they can contact our advisors. Ben Clark would be the first contact there. If it's undergraduate, Ms. Sarah Smith is our undergraduate program director. And if it's graduate, then Dr. Rachel Hall is our graduate programs coordinator. Any of those people would be happy to help.
And you can find all the contact information on the Tennessee Tech website, mm-hmm. and just look for Whitson Hester School of Nursing. Yep. Barbara, thank you so much for the great work you're doing, and thanks for the great work in terms of all these nurses you're training.
Well, thank you, and thank you for your ongoing support for the university.
Well, it's
really
great, and
it.
We've been delighted to have you with us today. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.